First of all, great job, kiddos, on the speeches and also on the readings. So on the readings, y'all are just like Jesus in the gospel today. Jesus goes into the synagogue, they hand him a Bible, and he has to read it for all the people, just as you did. I mean, goodness, you read from Nehemiah in that really long and hard reading from St. Paul. Excellent job, very good. We're very proud of you, and welcome to basically Catholic Schools Week. Happy Catholic Schools Week. So at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, after Jesus has been baptized, and after Jesus has spent 40 days in the desert, Jesus begins today to preach and teach in Galilee. The first place that he goes is Nazareth, Scripture tells us. He goes back to his hometown, and he goes into the synagogue because it's the Sabbath day. Now imagine, these Jewish people who are going about their normal business, you know, it's Sabbath, it's Saturday, so they go to the synagogue. They see Jesus. They hand him a Bible. They hand him Scripture. But they don't know that he's the Son of God. Imagine, they may have remembered him like, yeah, we think we remember him. That's right, that's the son of Mary and Joseph, that carpenter. They hand him the book of Isaiah. And Jesus reads Isaiah 61, chapter 61. It's important, friends. It's so important that we pay attention to these words that Jesus chose to read. Because they didn't hand him the whole Bible and he just kind of at random chooses a passage to read. Jesus knows that he's reading Isaiah chapter 61. And it's very significant that he does so. Notice the words that Jesus says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. By reading this passage, the first thing that Jesus tells us is who he is. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me. And so Jesus tells us, first and foremost, that he himself is the anointed one. He himself is the one that the Holy Spirit has anointed to preach the word of God. The second thing that Jesus tells us in this paragraph, he tells us to whom he has been sent. That's why we read this gospel right after the Christmas season, because God has become man. He's become one of us. Now Jesus says, this is to whom I came. There are three types of people that Jesus says that he comes to. He says that he has been sent to captives. He has been sent to the blind. He has been sent to the oppressed. Friends, isn't Jesus telling us here who we were before we became Christian? Jesus reveals to us who we were before our baptism. That yes, before our baptism, we were captive to sin. That yes, before our baptism, we were blind. We were blind to the truth of God's gospel. And that yes, without Jesus, we would be oppressed. You see, what Jesus brings us is freedom, the ability to see the truth, the grace of being children of God. But friends, the joy of being Christian, the joy of being Catholic, is knowing that because of my baptism, because we can all count ourselves friends of Jesus, that we can call God our Father, that we can call Jesus our brother. It's because knowing that because I'm baptized, I'm no longer held captive, I'm free. I'm no longer blind because Jesus lets me see the truth. He shows me the truth. I'm no longer oppressed, and I can rejoice that I'm a son or daughter of God. But the last thing this morning is this. Notice who Jesus says he brings glad tidings, okay? The joyful message of the gospel. Jesus says, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, he says, to bring glad tidings to the poor. To bring the joyful message of salvation to the poor, he says. You'll notice that throughout the Gospels, Jesus reserves many blessings. He reserves many blessings, many graces. Our Lord has a special place in his heart for the lowly and for the powerless, for the poor. He has a great love for the poor. And even look at Jesus' first beatitude. He says, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Now, we get the impression, right, because, you know, we thought that we are supposed to work to, work to end poverty, right? But what does Jesus mean? When Jesus says, I've come to bring the gospel to the poor, we also get the impression that Jesus wants us to be poor. And in a sense, friends, he does. Now, indeed, some people Jesus calls to a material poverty, right? If we think of the religious life, we think of monks and religious sisters. Yes, there are people that God does call to be actually poor, right? To not own material things so that they can possess Jesus as their one possession, to possess Jesus as their one treasure. But friends, in a certain sense, Jesus also wants us to be poor, that is, poor in spirit. He wants us to be poor in spirit. After all, when he quotes Isaiah, he says, who did he come to bring the gospel to? To the poor. And so for us to receive God's word, for us to receive his grace, we need to be poor in spirit. A person that has everything, has no need. And so when Jesus says that he has come to bring glad tidings to the poor, what he's saying to us that we should be empty of the things of this world so that he can fill us up. You see? Over the last few years as a priest, I've been very fortunate to get to know Mother Teresa's sisters, the Missionaries of Charity. And there was one time that I was working in a shelter for the homeless in New York City, in Manhattan, actually, for about a week. And every night, these gentlemen would come from the streets, and they would line up, and they would come in, and you know, we would check to make sure they're not, you know, bringing in any like weapons or drugs or anything into the home. We would confiscate a few materials, and they would come in, and they would come into the chapel. And if you've ever met a missionary of charity, like, you can't tell them no. You know, it's like Mother Teresa coming up to you and saying, Father, you will go preach to them. You can't say, okay, sister, you know. So they go into the chapel, and sister, literally, she comes up to you and she says, Father, you will go preach to them. And this is like right on the spot. And I say, sister, what am I supposed to preach about, you know? And she says, oh, I don't know. Just go talk to them. Go talk to them about the love of Jesus. I said, okay, sister, how long do I have to go? Oh, 45 minutes or so. Come, Holy Spirit. But I go in, and I'll fully admit, these are men that are rough around the edges. And that's putting it lightly. And they're sitting there, and they've been through everything you can imagine. And as I preach to them, they're in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. They're in this little chapel, and there's a crucifix behind me. And next to the crucifix in all of Mother Teresa's chapels are the words, I thirst. I thirst. Those are Jesus' words from the cross, one of his last words. He says, I thirst. And as I'm preaching to them, these gentlemen are looking up at me. I hear every now and then, I hear an amen, amen. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. You know, and the Holy Spirit really, really fills me with the words to say. But they, in that moment, even though they come in with, you know, with these, you know, very rough around the edges, they sit in this chapel, they hear the word of God. They go into the cafeteria afterwards, and the sisters serve them dinner. They are given a shower, and they go to bed up on, like, the second or third floor. And as they leave the next day, because it's an emergency shelter, it's not a long-term shelter, but it's an emergency shelter, so they're able to stay there for about a week. They leave the next day, the next morning, and as the sister is letting them out, you know, you hear, thank you, sister, have a good day. But what I came to realize is that these men, because they literally have nothing, they materially have nothing, they are able to be filled up with the Word of God, with food, with warmth, with shelter. Because they are empty, they are able to be filled up with the things that they need. So in our lives, we can also pray that God is not calling us to be materially poor, all of us, in that sense. But he does want us to be poor in spirit, to have that same emptiness. Lord, I need you. I can't take care of myself all the time. But Lord, I'm like a little child. I'm like a little child, and I need everything that you can give me. I need your love. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. I need your inspiration. I need your strength, because without it, I'm nothing. That's that poor in spirit. That's why Jesus came to us, who in our own way, we're all poor, because we are empty and we need God to fill us up. And so let us pray today that when we approach our Lord in prayer, we say, Lord, I come to you naked, I come to you poor, I come to you homeless, I come to you hungry, so that, Lord, you can bring me the glad tidings, the joy of knowing that you are my Savior. Amen.